Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
All right, you guys, we are at the premiere event for the new show, Cruel Summer.
You're not starting it off the same?
Oh, so I got nervous. I have makeup on.
Yeah, I have makeup on, she says. Okay. They still say, hello, oh my God, everybody. Sorry. We're scrubbing in.
You're so right. Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in, and we are live at the Cruel Summer premiere. Sorry. I got nervous.
I think everybody's like a little out of practice, or like a little like almost like doesn't know how to interact or like do things anymore. Do
you know what I mean? Exactly how I feel. Yeah. And it's weird because it's not like I haven't seen people, but for some reason coming to a different location to do like work stuff feels, I guess, a lot.
A lot of emotions.
Dazed and confused. Yeah. Okay, so first of all, we are in our hotel room and they have it all decked out with like 90s nostalgia.
Yeah, like what are those? What's the lamp with the bubbles in it?
A lava lamp.
Yeah, there's a lava lamp. And then I know that they didn't do this just for me because I'm sure that these are in every single bathroom, but there are butterfly clips.
No. Hold on. It's a caboodle.
It's a caboodle, but there's butterfly clips in the caboodle, and the butterflies, to me, just feel significant right now.
Yeah. Every single person here is feeling the significance of the butterfly clips. It's super cute. So we got to come to the Beverly Hilton to do the premiere, and we're going to get to have a podcast with some of the cast, which involves Olivia Holt.
Who we love.
She's been a guest on our podcast before. And then we have Kiara Aurelia, who is actually in one of my favorite shows I've watched recently. So she's going to be in this one. And then finally, we are getting to talk to one of our favorites, Sarah Drew,
a.k.a. April Koepner. But wait, I do have to say, when we were like driving over here, Becca, so hand over that script. So we're hosting the premiere, and basically all we have to do is this short little intro.
Okay,
it's like
a mini
little paragraph, and then introduce the cast, right? They have it all laid out for us, and all we have to do, it's like a, hey everyone, on behalf of Freeform, Hulu,
okay,
Studio 1E.
Don't read it. Right. Don't read it. Okay, if it's so easy.
We're Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad from Scrubbing In. You know,
tell it. What are you saying?
Becca goes, have you memorized it? And I'm like, well, it's just like a welcome paragraph. We're just going to kind of like shoot it around, you know?
Okay, but there is probably some marks we need to hit. So I just like to make sure we do it all right. And Tanya, the professional, normally has a giant prompter in front of her that she's used to reading from. I don't have that. And I'm also not an actress. So like having to host and memorize something is a little more stressful for someone like myself.
It was so funny. We were driving over here. She's like practicing the paragraph. And it's literally like, I am Becca Tilley. And this is we're just going to pop out of our balcony and say like, welcome everybody. And then we have a list of names, which yes, some of them are hard to pronounce. We will pronounce them, but the video camera won't be on us. So it's like,
okay,
we'll just read them.
It is kind of funny that my line is, we are Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad. That's really it. So
you're going to say the line after, which is labor intensive.
Yeah. So you'll hear it's Cruel Summer will take you back to the 90s, keep you hooked with its twists and turns and shocking storylines. And of course, a kick-ass soundtrack. It's a wordy sentence. You know what I'm saying? Like for a non-actress such as myself. Just so you know, The Bachelor is not scripted. Here's the proof. I'm sweating just thinking about it now. But anyways, we get to talk to three amazing people on the show. And I'm actually really excited for this show because I've been really into twisty, turny TV shows like Dark.
Oh.
I can't watch them by myself during the day, but I watch them during the day. And I like when I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm excited. And I'm just so excited to talk to Sarah Drew because
I know
I have questions.
I know. But like we have to start out with like Cruel Summer. Like we have to start off with that, I feel.
Of course.
Well, we should also be clear that we're recording this on Thursday evening. So if like tonight was the big Koepner return to Grays, you're hearing this next week. We don't know about that yet.
Right. So it's Thursday.
Yeah, it's Thursday, so I'm not going to try and play like we're doing it Monday afternoon because I know some people here might call me out,
such as
Mark
me
and Tanya. But I am now. I'm really incentivized to get some information about Grey's out of Sarah Drew. Be like, listen, do you come back tonight? Because we are not going to get to watch.
Right. Because we're here watching your new show.
So like before I check Twitter and get spoiled, can you make it more special and spoil it for me? That's how I feel.
Right. But then the listeners are going to be like, cool, we saw that.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So well,
this is a selfish thing. Okay. Sorry, I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing this for Monday's episode. This is just for me as a Grey's Anatomy fan.
Okay.
But anyways, it's so cute here and we're so excited. Like this is Tanya's been doing events for a little while now. This is my first one. So I feel like I'm like let out of the house, like to go wild.
Yeah.
We're having a fun dinner after this. It's going to be a good time.
Some cervezas.
What?
Some drinks.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you said survey says like family feud or something.
I thought you said survey says too.
Isn't a cerveza a drink?
It is.
Yeah, it's a beer. Yeah.
Oh, it's a beer. I won't be drinking beer, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's really not.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just like sitting here. They have 90s. I wish this was a visual situation because there's this giant screen right outside our balcony. It's like 90s rock music playing.
It's pretty incredible to think about the way that everybody's pivoted in this pandemic for like premieres and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
this is a really cool way to do it, I think. Yeah. Instead of the like stuff in your car. We're sick of our cars too.
Yeah. You know? Like,
I'm ready to get out of my car.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Did you like after last week's podcast, I feel like a lot of people were entertained by the Taylor Swift stuff and your analogies that come through all the time.
Yeah, I know. I had a lot of people hit me up about the gray-haired baby.
Yeah.
Which I found interesting because that was at the very end of the podcast, I feel as though. So that means that...
There was retention. Our listener retention was good last week.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like they might pop out. You know, they pop in, they listen, and then they might pop out. But it seems like people really got to the end of last week's episode.
I don't like to think that our listeners don't loyally listen all the way through.
Okay.
Though
true.
All right,
Tanya has a theory as to what Taylor might be remaking next.
Oh, me too. And what I think it's probably the same one, 1989.
Yeah, you see all the fan theories.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, the best part is that I tried to do a TikTok trend with Tanya before we came up to our room because the lighting was really good outside. We have our makeup done and I was like, this is the moment. It was almost as if I was getting my 90-year-old grandma to do a TikTok with me.
Becca knows it's so easy.
I was like, listen, just all you have to do when you hear the beat drop, turn your head slowly that way.
No, you said smile. So I smiled and then I saw you turning.
I never said smile.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to smile the whole time?
I mean, I didn't care if you smiled. It was more about the head turn. So we do it and like we're kind of in a hurry because we needed to get up here and start recording the podcast. And she's like, wait, this is so bad. Let me try again. I'm like, there's too many people. I don't like taking photos or videos when there's a ton of people watching, just like staring at us, you know, influencing. It reminds me of Influencers in the Wild, which is my worst nightmare.
So. No, we weren't in the wild. We were on the red carpet at the premiere. They wanted us to do that.
There was maybe four people watching, which felt too intimidating to me. And so then Tanya had, I did not feel confident that we were going to get it anytime soon. So stay tuned to see if we end up being able to figure that out. I think we can.
TikTok is not my platform of ability.
So where do you see all the fan theories of Taylor? Because that's where I get all mine.
On the internet? On the interweb?
Like Google?
Yeah, or like Us Weekly or Glamour or People Magazine or what else do I look at? Just Jared? Like
reputable journalist then.
Correct, yeah. Correct.
Like where do you get your news?
From Sisney and Ginger Chan.
No, I think she means like, is this Instagram you're doing or is it more of a Twitter situation?
I go, what, me?
No, isn't that what you're asking her? Is like where specifically you get these kind of compiled?
Well,
yeah,
like I get my fan theories from TikTok.
I get
my news from Twitter. Yeah.
Oh.
It's all reliable stuff. Like,
yeah.
The biggest fans in the world are making these theories. It's not just like hearsay. These are professional stands.
They're peer reviewed.
Yeah. Well, I get my news from Sisney on Kiss FM, and I get my fan theories from Google. So you can basically call me retro.
Yeah, but I think the fan, what you're reading is coming from what I'm seeing. I'm seeing it first.
I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because journalists just take, they see what someone has done on TikTok, what's gone viral, and they write it up.
I'm Team Beccatelli on this one. Woo-hoo! I think she's right. So Tanya, are you going to Google and saying, what are Taylor Swift fan theories?
No, like I'm going on like Just Jared and scrolling around and I see the headline, or like E! Online, and then
exactly. But none of this is Google.
Wait, what?
These aren't Google.
Right, okay, not Google. Yeah. So like E! Online, gossip sites.
Yeah, where do they give credit for those? Easton pulled up a headline.
I've got Us Weekly here. This is breaking down some theories about Evermore, and they're crediting...
their writer.
YouTube.
Oh, YouTube.
A lot of YouTube videos. Was,
you know, the more... Here's the thing. There have been some very reputable fan theory videos on Taylor Swift. And here's my issue. I am the type who hears a conspiracy theory, and my first reaction isn't, oh my God, that's so dumb. It's, they have a good point. Which is not good, because I could believe anything if it's delivered the right way. It's true.
It's true.
Tanya, too. She's trying to act cool, but it should be the same way.
Yeah, I'm pretty gullible.
Yeah. Like, I literally Googled after the gray hair on a baby, and I found, like, there's, like, 5 babies in the world who have had a gray hair.
Oh, my gosh. I know. You know what's so funny is you don't realize, like, when we're doing the podcast, I don't realize what people are going to really hone in on, you know?
I was just saying that to see how gullible you are. I did not research that at all.
Yeah. Prove that point.
All right. So our first guest is about to arrive. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for it?
I'm so ready.
All right. Sarah Drew is about to join us. So we're going to talk to her. And
are we going to come back with her or just bring her on in?
No, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come on back.
Okay.
With Sarah Drew. All right, we are back, and we have Sarah Drew joining us.
Hi.
One of our favorites.
Oh. It's so good to see you.
It's so great to see you. We can't even tell you, seriously.
I mean, honestly, between Cruel Summer, the premiere of Cruel Summer, and then you coming back to Grays, it's like an embarrassment of riches because we're just obsessed with you, like truly.
You're so sweet. It is a fun couple months.
I'm sure. I was going to say, so it's a very different type of show than that we've seen you on Grey's Anatomy. You play the mom of Jeanette, who is I was going to see if you could set this up because I don't want to get it wrong, but Jeanette is kind of like, would you say an outcast?
Well, she changes dramatically between 1993, 94, and 95. And you'll see that in the first episode, which is all told from her perspective. In 93, she's sort of an outlier, like a little nerdy. She's got the braces and the glasses and like her great, sweet friends, but they're not like the cool, popular kids. Mm-hmm. And in 94, all of a sudden, she is Queen Bee. And then in 95, she is the town outcast, town pariah, like the world is against her. Something has happened. She might be responsible. We don't know. We're trying to piece it all together. And so you spend the whole first episode kind of tracking her story and being like, how could this girl's life change so dramatically between these 3 years? What happened?
Is it weird for you to, I mean, you're a mom, you're a mom on Grey's, but you were a mom of a teenager, which is almost like, I can't even imagine you being a mom of a teenager, but is it fun playing the role of someone like that's constantly changing? Like, I love that the show is going to be told from different years.
Yeah,
it's a really cool concept.
Yeah, it is a very fun concept, and you're constantly flipping between these 3 years. So you're just like, but it's cool because there's color changes for each era. So you can click right in, and people look different in each era. So you can click back into exactly where you are in the narrative. They've come up with some pretty cool visual cues to help the audience. But yeah, I mean, I was super excited to play the mom of a teenager. I mean, I just, the mother-daughter relationship, especially in teenage years, was so incredibly rich and meaningful and took so many twists and turns for me in my life. And I always love telling stories of the conflicts and the joys and the intensity of that kind of high intensity time period. So for me, it was really exciting to dive into a complicated mother-daughter relationship in a different way than the mother-daughter relationship of a toddler is, you know, it's right. Very different.
And did you guys shoot this in COVID during the pandemic?
Yeah. And we followed all the protocols really strictly. Everybody was super good and super on top of it. We all felt really safe, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that was another thing I remember, just like, every time I was there in Dallas on set, we were all just look at one another and be like, we're so grateful that we're working.
Yeah.
'Cause it's such a crazy time and so many people aren't working. And just to be able to be on a set with a group of people making something that we actually really love and that we care about and we're excited about, it's just, it was such a gift. And I think none of us took that for granted, for sure.
I'm just so excited to have you back on my screen, and hopefully, I don't know when your return on Grey's Anatomy is coming, but I am so excited because I can't wait for this show. I love a twisty, turny show, and I'm just thrilled that I'm going to get to watch you as a part of that because it just makes it even better. I'm so excited.
Well, it's so different too from like anything I've done before. Like, I haven't done the psychological thriller before. I haven't done that sort of like, do we like her? Do we not?
Yeah.
Is she good? Is she bad? Like, I mean, and having to really navigate and my character takes some twists and turns herself. So it's really fun to kind of go, she's human, man. Like, it's very interesting ways.
You know what's interesting though with you, I feel like, because I feel like when it was announced that you were coming back to Grey's, and the collective happiness, not just in like the viewers, but also from like the cast of Grey's Anatomy, like everybody's so excited to have you back. And that's, I think that's such a testament to just you as a person, because yes, you play a character, but like there's obviously parts of you that shine through, you know? And so you're just so lovable and such a joy. And I feel like that it's so obvious to see, because like every article I read is just like, you know, I don't even know, XYZ cast member is, you know, having her back is such a joy. And I'm like, wow, like it just, I don't know, validates like how I feel my obsession with you.
You guys are so sweet to say that. And I will say I felt like totally love bombed. I mean, the couple days when it broke on deadline, and then I was on set with Jesse and we took a picture and
I was gonna say, I have never felt so teased by that ever.
I mean, we were like sitting on set just showing each other tweets, and we're like, what? Like, this is so crazy. it was super gratifying, you know. It was super like, it felt like such a warm, receptive homecoming, and I was just like overflowing with love and love for like those people that I had missed so much over the last 3 years, and walking onto that set and seeing cast and crew and writers and directors and like producers and all of the people that I just, that are my family, you know, it was like a really, really beautiful experience.
Listen, I have never given up, and I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but I have never given up hope that J'April would be Endgame. And
you know, I'm torn. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little torn, but keep going.
Oh yeah. Okay. All
what
right.
are you?
Cause I was
about?
Always team J'April, but now that now there's a little something going on with Joe, no. I'm like, no.
No. J'April is for,
this is why the show is so good. You know, you're like,
listen, you should have never.
Awesome. Wait. Super fans disagreeing about the fate of the characters. Like, I love that. That's great.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I'm torn. Like, when I heard you were coming back, I was like, oh my God, I love Sarah Drew. And then I was like, but Joe, I get, like, it hit me.
See, I love Joe, but like I am. Listen, are I you have
coming,
loyalty.
Are you coming back for like one episode or a stint? They call it a stint.
Just one. Just one.
Okay, well that makes me nervous.
That's looking better for Team Joe over here.
That makes me a little feel like I'm on shaky ground over here.
Everybody on Twitter.
Wait, what?
I know.
And you,
I know.
You can't so tell many, us why you're so coming back, years. Right?
I can't tell you, guys. I can't tell you anything. I wish I could. I can't. I just can't. It's okay. Under lock and key. Yeah.
Yeah. I would not take that risk with the contract you probably signed. We get it.
But we like to make theories over here.
Well, we were just talking about before you came on, I get a lot of my conspiracy theories like about Taylor Swift and stuff from my TikTok fan theories. So I also go into fan theories with like Grey's Anatomy stuff and what's happening. And I've come up with my own theory about your return, but your one episode hint just really threw me. So,
Does that throw everything off for you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, because unless I can't talk about it. If you come and get Jackson, then he leaves with you and y'all are both gone, then that's going to be
even. Well, no.
You guys, I can't. I am. Wait,
is there any way we as fans can petition to have you stay longer?
I don't even know like how to respond to that. Okay. Y'all, there have been so many petitions since I left the show.
That's
I mean,
true.
The fans flew a plane over the set. Like y'all can do. You can do. What you want.
Okay. All right.
Listen, I'm here to say.
I wish I could tell you more.
We get it.
I just need to let you know that if I see you stepping onto some beach, though, I'm going to be really upset. I'm going to do some handwritten letters to some people if that's what happens.
I love the handwritten. It has to be handwritten.
No, because that really shows a passion.
Yeah.
Write a letter.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It's so good. So now you have all this like insane love, people so excited that you're coming back for Grey's Anatomy. And then you kind of gave us a little hint of who your character, Cindy Turner, is going to be on Cruel Summer, because to me, now that I know about Jeanette's character and kind of what she goes through, I'm imagining the mom of someone going through kind of being the nerd and then having the popular moment and being like, how important was all that to the mom?
Yeah, mom, Cindy cares a lot about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big piece of her character design. So
do you relate to that?
She's, you know, in some ways, you know, I mean, I care and hope that people see me for who I try to be, you know, I think in terms of like character and like integrity and things like that.
Of course.
And when I feel misunderstood in that area, mm-hmm. that throws me for a loop because it's like, that's not who I am. Like fundamentally, when it comes to like appearances and who looks the hottest and who's like in the right style and who is making the most money or has the fanciest stuff. Like I don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff. I will never be in the cool kids club for that stuff. Like it just doesn't exist in my universe.
That makes you even cooler.
Yeah. It's why people have grabbed, like have just held on to, because I always say this, I truly think you're such and phenomenal actress, but I think there's always a part of people that shines through, especially when, I mean, totally. Sometimes when it's like an evil or dark character, it's different, but like when you're a happy, like likable character, I always think the actress shows through on that. And I think that's why people have gravitated you the way that they have, and April, because it was like, you're all fused together.
Well, I thank you for saying that. I mean, you know, you play someone for long enough and there definitely are pieces of you that meld with the character for sure. I mean, I, you know, her spirituality came out 2 years after I'd been on the show. And that's always been a part of my life, you know, but I don't know if she would have been that had I not had, you know, someone else been playing April, you know, so you see on long running shows, writers finding little nuggets of truth to highlight about who people are, because any real honest human thing you can add just makes it that much more watchable and that much more interesting and that much more multi-layered. And so I think the great privilege in being on a show for 9 years is I got to play a very multi-dimensional human who changed a lot. And like we all do in life, we are all many things. Like every human being is many things, and we change all the time, right? But when you're in a movie, for instance, you have the arc of 2 hours to tell a whole realized character story. When you're on a series, most series don't last anywhere near as long as this show has, not even up to the 9 years that I was on the show. So like, it feels like I got to tell a fully realized human story because just the sheer amount of time I had to spend with her. And to draw on, like, oh, we saw that. We saw that 6 seasons ago, actually. So I can make a callback to that thing from 6 seasons ago. It's there. It's in, it was in black and white, and then it was up on the screen. So it's cool. I thank you for saying that. I also, you know, I just loved my time so much, and loved getting to be this person that feels so full and rich, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I agree. It was like watching you. I remember when you first came on Grey's Anatomy, I was like, she's kind of, I don't know if I like this character. That's how Shonda does. But Shonda does.
I did. I liked you from the get go. I did. But I see a lot.
Okay, suck up. We get it.
No, not suck up. But like, she doesn't care. So her profile is like, I don't care if you like me or don't like me. It's my character. But I did, because I found you to be just like nerdy and just like unapologetically yourself. And I don't know, there was something so endearing about that.
I will say one of the things that I have always loved the most about April is her unapologetic sense of self.
Yeah.
And I will say that, especially in this industry, like, you can get tossed on the wind of whether you're, you know, accepted or not all the time by the public, by the press, by the producers, by the people who will or won't hire you, like all of that stuff. And April, I mean, I remember this one scene she had sitting it in the like cafeteria where she's like, I don't care if people don't like me. I like me. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, can I have a little bit more of that in my life, just like on a deeper level, so that I just can come back to that always, no matter the circumstance? That would be great. I would love that.
I wish I had that mentality with everything. I'm such a people pleaser. I wish I was like, who cares? Like, I like what I think. I like myself.
Yeah.
If only.
I know. I have the people pleaser gene in me too. It's getting better.
I know,
as
same,
I get older, but it's still there. Yeah.
I fear it'll die with me.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I don't have the people pleasing thing. Like, I do like me. Like, I like me.
I like me too, but I still want everyone to like me as well.
Yeah, but that's the same thing. Like, I feel like if somebody didn't like me, it would hurt me. So I guess I do have people please, but I don't feel like I'm a people pleaser.
Well, it sounds like you are a little bit. Sorry for this revelation.
I'm like,
Can you tell us if you can't tell us anything about Grace?
I'm gonna have a whole press day, and it's coming.
Can you
but
tell
it's
us?
Not here yet.
Okay, it's not here yet.
Were you as shocked when Giacomo died?
Oh yeah. I mean, what a heartbreak.
Hadn't felt that heartbreak in a while. Hadn't felt heartbreak like that in quite some time.
It was just kept it so hidden. Like everything, I feel like every other
there are a lot of like big surprises they've kept hidden this year. I mean, the beach.
Yeah, they're really getting sneaky over there.
Yeah,
on
the
set.
Patrick Dempsey of it all truly just started things off on a whole different foot this season. I was like, okay, they are coming to play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's why I feel a little bit uneasy about your return being on one episode situation, because it doesn't feel like it's going to be a happy reason.
Yeah,
Come on, Sarah. Anything.
Immovable. Anything. I remain immovable.
Yeah, she can't tell us. We already know this.
It's like, just give me like a nod
of
the
head. I know you're feeling things. I know. I'm sorry.
We are feeling things.
Do you keep in touch with
for you in this moment, but I cannot.
Do you keep in touch with everyone? Like, are there a few people where you're like in contact with consistently?
Yeah, totally. I've been the whole time since I left, been in close contact with Kelly and Katarina.
Oh yeah.
Those are like my two besties on the show. And then Chandra, I'd always check in with. We always have a check-in every couple months. I just adore her so much. And of course, Jesse, like we would check in now and again. And, but it was really fun. It just was really fun to get back on set. And it just felt like no time had passed, you know? You're just like, oh, here we are. Back in the saddle.
Yeah. Back in the OR.
We actually met you and Katarina together at the Children's Hospital prom, whenever that was, a few years ago.
Yeah,
Tanya really threw us under the bus with the whole, like, we have a podcast on Grey's Anatomy. Didn't make it sound as cool as it is, really. But anyways... And then I go to an event, I think it was for the Trevor Project, and Jesse was there, which I have had a crush on Jesse probably like since I've seen him in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. And
he was in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The love interest. Oh, or the second one, right? Yeah, the second one.
I need to revisit. Okay.
And so
he's like a nude model in it.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah. He definitely is. And so my friend at this event, yes.
Such a treat for the eyes and the ears.
And so she goes, she was like, yeah, Jesse's one of my friends. You want me to introduce you? And I was just like, yeah, sure. And so she goes, yeah, this is Becca. She has a podcast based on Grey's Anatomy. And I was just like, oh my God, every cool. It's all just, I'm like, hi, so nice to meet you. It was brief. Painful.
No, there's no cool. Like, there's no trying to be cool when you meet anybody from Grey's. Okay, like,
I do try.
You guys, I mean, whatever you felt in meeting me and Katarina that night, there was no sense of me going, oh, those people. Mm. Like, nothing at all. Like, I just hope you know that. Like, even if you felt a certain way or whatever and felt thrown under the bus or whatever, all I received was, oh, that's so great. You have a podcast. That's so cool. So nice to meet you guys. How are you? Like, that is generally what we're all thinking in those moments, even though you might think something else. So just...
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. And, you know, I should be more confident because we've had several cast members come back, like including yourself, for another episode of our podcast. So
yeah, we're not that scary.
No, it's awesome.
They're like, what is this again? So they're like, you know, those two girls who
the two girls I love.
It's always such a great conversation, and it's so fun and vibrant, and you guys are so lovely and warm, and yeah.
We love you so much. Thank you, seriously. Thank you for taking the time, and we're happy to have you back when you whatever would like.
Okay. Yeah, we're so excited for tonight. Thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us.
Congrats with Cruel Summer.
Thank you.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
All right, you guys, we're waiting for Olivia Holt to come in, and we're about to... Oh, here she is! Let's go.
I used to love him, he used to love me. Yeah, we go way, 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 way back. We love, love, love like that.
Okay, we were going to try to do that before you walked in, but you walked in as it was happening.
That was legendary. I'm obsessed with everything that just happened.
As we are obsessed with you, Olivia Holt. Welcome back to the OR.
Woohoo! We were talking about that you were about to come up, and Easton goes, oh, her song history is one of my absolute favorite songs.
And Easton is who you saw dancing in the zoo.
I'm the engineer, and it just rips so hard. I love that song.
And I'm like, that song never got the recognition it deserved.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that.
We no, should, I mean it. You know what? It needs to be a TikTok trend is what we need to do.
Wait, actually, you know what we should, I don't really know. I know obviously we're here at the Cruel Summer premiere and we will get to that. We're really excited, but I'm such a music fan and I love your music and I need to know what we're allowed to know in that realm.
Okay. Well, one, thank you. And two, I think, Tanya, you heard.
I did, but I don't know what I'm allowed to say, so I want to throw it on you.
She's like, I don't know. Anything.
I have a single coming out in June.
And it's
called
a
Next.
Bop.
You've heard it?
Yeah.
Wow. The inside.
It's so good. I heard it once and I literally went to Instagram to DM Olivia and I was like, when is that song going to be on iTunes? Because I can't stop. I need it. I need more of it.
That's really cool of you. I'm so excited. I like, this is like the one song that I think is, that has actually like shaped the kind of music that I want to make. And I'm very excited about it. I think it's just going to be so fun. And I think especially like after this weird year that we've had, like we need something that's just like liberating and exciting and we could just put on something to dance to. And I hope that this is the song that everyone feels that because I'm very excited about it.
Well, I'm ready because normally when Tanya says it's a bop, I agree with her because we love the same music. So that is really cool that that's coming out in June. And now you have this amazing, fun, twisty turny show coming out, Cruel Summer, which is why we're here. Kind of cool to go from like a weird 2020 year to now you have a TV show premiering, you're working on new music that's coming out. It's got to feel like normalcy is on the way.
I hope so. I definitely am trying to be more optimistic this year about what the future holds. But I'm so excited about this show. Obviously, everybody experienced a lot of weirdness in the beginning of the pandemic, and no one knew when we were going to be able to start creating again. Mm-hmm. And I had signed on to this project right as the pandemic hit, and we were supposed to start shooting at the beginning of March 2020.
Oh,
when everything started shutting down. And it was hard. It was really hard because we just had to keep pushing and postponing and it just felt like it was never going to happen. And there was a silver lining at the end of the tunnel. We ended up finding the perfect date to start shooting and we started shooting at the end of last year in October. So very grateful to have like started working again because I was like craving that, like just like being able to create something. And this show is it's so good. I'm really, really proud of it. It's a psychological thriller, which is one of my favorite genres ever. And, it takes place in the 90s, which I mean, I feel like I can go into that, but I feel like we're all on the same page with how obsessed we are with it.
I mean, the caboodle in the bathroom with the butterfly clips in it. I just like, literally, I can't.
It's the best. It's the best. So, I mean, that aspect of it and just the mystery and the characters, and it's a unique way of storytelling. It's a nonlinear storyline. So it's shifting perspectives between my character and Kiara Aurelia's character. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it because it's so cool and edgy. And
honestly, Freeform does not disappoint. Like, never.
No, you're right. Right.
Yeah. Your character is kind of like the popular girl in high school. Like she's the popular girl. And we just talked to Sarah Drew and she was saying it goes in, it's three different years. So there's like different perspectives. Was that challenging to like switch gears of like how you filmed or how'd y'all do that?
Sure. 100%. It, because we didn't film in linear, like we didn't film in any sort of chronological order. So we were going from three different years in one single filming day. And there's like drastic hair and makeup changes. Yeah. Like the wardrobe is incredibly different. Even the sets, we didn't have separate sets for each year. So like, for example, if it was my character, Kate's bedroom,
each year they had to change what her bedroom looked like because she's just so, every year is just so intense and drastic. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, one year it's NSYNC all over your walls. The next year you're like, screw NSYNC. I like Backstreet Boys. So that's the new thing. And then you're like, no, it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas here.
Oh my gosh,
so
I was going to say
he comes
Taylor
on the screen
Thomas.
And then you start kissing them. No. Did you ever kiss the posters on? Did you ever do that?
Of course I did.
Okay. Cool.
Of same. Course
I'm the odd man out here. Interesting.
Yeah, like, I was like, no, if Tom, you didn't practice kissing on a poster of, I mean, mine was Kevin Richards from Backstreet Boys.
Okay, Olivia, she told him that it was like soggy and wet because she kissed it. She told him.
He was flattered, I think, or mildly creeped out. I don't know.
There's
hard
no,
to say.
There could have been a range of emotions of like him being flattered, but like, you know, he was like, am I safe here?
Am I safe? Yeah. I mean, who was yours? Did, who was your
so
poster
funny.
That you made out with? Was it Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I feel like I had a few. No,
no,
that
you're
wasn't
younger.
Like,
yeah, you're younger.
Yeah, that's like, that was like right before me. I don't know. I think like, because there was no one really that good when
like
I was
Zac Efron.
Young. Like Zac Efron okay. is probably like the closest I could get
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would have gotten that poster wet for sure.
Ew, you're so sick. You were literally so sick.
Jesus. You guys, you all have done it. You just don't want to admit
no,
it.
No,
I know you did.
At this point, I'd feel safe Blonde admitting it. Allison's over there shaking her head
Allison
like, no.
Allison did it too. Yes, you did. Don't lie. You're in a safe space here.
Well, so that's unfortunate that we had to relive that memory because I still freaks me out for Kevin.
I loved it. I loved it.
So what, yeah, I'm like curious because this show is, I've been really into like twisty kind of, you don't know, like you have ideas of what's going on and then there's a twist and you're like, what? I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Is it that the whole season?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I can even say, because I'm the same way, I'm obsessed with stuff like that. And, like I said, like this genre is one of my favorites and I think that it's a hard genre to execute. Mm-hmm. It's really tricky. It's all in the casting. It's all in the dialogue. It's all in the way that it's edited. Like there are so many elements and factors to like making this genre succeed. And I remember reading each episode because none of us knew the trajectory of our characters. So each script that we got, it was like new information that we were getting. And there was a little bit of information that we would get from the head creatives about like just small things so we could make strong character choices and moments. But for the most part, I was like following along just like how like if you were watching a show, like you were just getting new information. And it was fun because like the cast and I would come up with theories about what we thought the ending was, who did what, and I ended up being so wrong. All of my theories were like not it.
It kind of gives me like the vibe of like a Pretty Little Liars mixed in with This Is Us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question. Did you watch this? Because you said you like this genre. Did you watch Kiara's show, Tell Me Your Secrets?
I haven't watched it yet, but I know all about it because she's told me.
Yeah. Oh, well, then that really takes away the point. But I just, I mean, it's so fun to, I'm horrible at guessing. Like, I'm always wrong by the end of it. I'm like, wow, I was really, really off there. I'm glad to know that it was the same for you as an actress playing a role on a show like that.
Yeah. I felt super lame because I was like, this is my job. Like, I'm supposed to, like, know. And I didn't know. But I think, like, that's, like, why this is so good is because there are little clues and hints throughout the entire season, and each episode like ends with such an intense cliffhanger that you're gonna want to know what's next. And I think because of the shifting perspectives, each episode you're seeing it from my character's perspective and then Kiara's character's perspective. So it's almost like especially if you're watching it with friends, you're having those conversations like, oh, I believe Kate. And mm-hmm. then it's the next episode. You're like, but wait. No. Jeanette is doing something that's like making me think like, oh, she's right.
I love that. It's almost, it's like, the book series. It was the movie Something Borrowed, but they never made the rest of the movies.
The romantic comedy?
Yeah, where it was like
Kate Hudson.
Yes, yes. Because
I love that movie. Yeah. I didn't read the book series.
So the first one is, no, it's not a thriller, but it's the first one is through her perspective. And then the next one is like, I can't remember what they were titled, but it was like Something Borrowed, Something Blue, Something Baby Proof, whatever. Yeah. And each different one was from a different character's perspective. And so you read it and you're like,
genius.
It's so genius. Because like in the first movie, you're so like, oh my gosh, I'm team blah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And then you see the other girl's perspective and you're like, oh, well, I get it. You know what I mean? And it's like, so it's the truth. It's all the same story. Right. It's so good.
Yeah.
Olivia, were you the popular girl in high school?
I didn't go to high school.
Oh. Do you think you would have been the popular girl in high school?
I mean, I did go to high school, but I wasn't physically
right.
There.
You like homeschooled.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't know. I definitely, because I did go physically go to junior high. So like sixth, seventh and eighth grade, mm-hmm. I was at school and I just remember really, really loving it. I like my tribe of like girls were there and I was super ambitious. I was like pretty much in every school activity there was. I was a cheerleader, but on the chess team, I was in choir. I was the vice president of my student body for like a hot minute. I really liked school a lot.
It's almost like Hollywood is your high school.
Honestly, right? Yeah.
It is.
I don't know about that.
I kind of do.
I don't know. Maybe. I think what's so interesting though, is like us as humans, like when we think of popular girls, we think of like the Regina George, mm-hmm. right? We think of like the one who like commands all, is mean and is and just like has like this very specific personality. But Kate is not that. She, I think what makes her the popular girl in quotes is that she's kind and she's compassionate. And I think she's kind of figure it out like every other teenager in the show. And I think that's why Jeanette is so fascinated in her and her life. And I don't think that because what we do when we see people on the exterior is we immediately judge them for who they are on the outside and like what their life and environment is like.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know all the other layers underneath until we choose to get to know that, or until they choose to get to show that. And so I think it's very fascinating that we are using the word popular girl, because mm-hmm. I think that there is like an element of popular that is good. And I don't think we normalize that enough. And so I don't know. I just went on a sort of tangent there about.
No, it's all about remaining curious. You know, as Ted Lasso says, you just have to remain curious.
I was asking more of the popular of like, because when I think of popular, I mean, obviously you have the stereotypes of like the mean girl, but I think of them as the mean girl, really. I think of popular as like someone that everyone loved, like that people from different, the chess club, the cheerleaders, like everyone. Yeah. Had something good to say about that person.
Yeah.
So no, it's cool. I'm glad that that's your character and it's not like she's, you know, someone, sometimes there are characters that you don't want to root for. And it sounds like your character is someone that you are rooting for.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of wins that we want to see when watching the show, whether it's within my character or Kiara's character or really anybody there. That's the theme of the show, is who's the villain, who's the victim. Is there one? Is there like, who do we trust? I think you're right. Like there is moments where we can absolutely hate a character and we want them killed off. Or there's moments where we're like, whoa, like this I didn't know this layer about this character. And now I actually like sympathize with them and I feel for them in this moment. So I think that like having those like forever changing opinions is what makes this show so unique and just so fun to watch.
So this season, the first season's like in the can, like you've shot the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just finished like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Is it coming? Is it one episode a week?
two episodes are dropping on the 20th.
Okay.
So the first and second episode, which is basically the Jeanette pilot and then the Kate pilot. And then 1 a week after that.
Cool. No binging. Just got to be patient.
No binging.
I like it. I can't binge shows. I like get too distracted after two episodes. And then I'm like, what did I just watch? So I'm actually thrilled to hear that information.
Oh, good. Good.
Thrilled.
I am. I love, because I've tried to binge all these like twisty turny shows, and I feel like I miss things that are probably really important because I'm like, I drift off. But I'm like, what?
I enjoy the binge.
I like fall asleep because I'm a grandma. I need to be in bed by 9 p.m.
I gotta watch a few TikToks and then go to sleep.
You do?
I'm the worst. I'm the worst.
You go to bed at 9 o'clock?
I'm gonna need a Red Bull tonight.
Yeah.
Same. How did that happen?
I don't know. I think I'm mildly narcoleptic.
You work hard too. Give yourself credit. You do work hard.
It's self-diagnosed, but yeah, maybe it's that. I don't know. I'm even during the pandemic, I was like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. Like, let's.
Yo, no, it got even worse in the pandemic. It was like, oh, sun's down. All right,
guess I'll go to sleep.
Okay, so this season's done in the can. You're doing your music, and then what are you up to now? What a month is it? April?
April. Yeah, the year's flying. I think lots of cool things. I'm definitely going to keep continuing working on music and just having fun in that space. And hopefully at some point, like really being able to like dive into the in-person stuff, because that just like makes such a difference. Hopefully starting to develop a couple projects. So we'll see where that takes me. I've always been so interested in the producing side of developing and creating. And so working with some really cool people for that. Yeah, it's gonna be a good year. I'm trying to be optimistic. Last year was hard.
Yeah, I know. I feel like when we talked to you, was that last year, earlier this year? Yeah. I can't remember. It was, I remember you saying that it had been I know it's been challenging for so many, but you were very much not trying to sugarcoat the situation. You were like, yeah, it's been tough.
It sucks. It totally sucks.
Well, I'm so happy. I mean, I'm thrilled again. I'm so happy for you that you have so much going on, and I'm so excited to hear the music after hearing Tanya rave. And
I know I like literally sidebar was like hoping that you would just send me the MP3. Like, I'm like, I have to wait till June.
I don't know why I didn't. Yeah. Like, you have to wait.
Yeah.
I was like, Tanya's like trying to DM, like hint.
Yeah. I was trying to like give some hints so that I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to beg for the music, but I was like, okay.
A couple of months it'll come out. She goes, oh, bummer.
Yeah, she like literally sent you that DM thinking you'd be like, oh my gosh, girl, like I'll send you over the MP3. And you're like, sorry, June.
Yeah, June. I was like, oh, okay, read between the lines, Olivia Holt.
That's so funny. I'm going to send it to you. I don't know why I did it in the first place.
Oh, you're the best. Seriously, congratulations on summer. We're so excited. We're happy for you. You are welcome in the OR whenever you would like to join us. And just thank you so much for the time.
Thank you guys. I appreciate you as always.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, you guys, as you heard, as we were ending things with Olivia, Kiara Aurelia walked in, who plays Jeanette. What is the last name? Jeanette Turner. I'm like, I have a full list of names, and we just talked to your mom, April Kepner, Sarah Drew, who plays Cindy Turner. I'm so fascinated by your character in the show because I just binged Tell Me Your Secrets and you were phenomenal.
Thank you.
And the
so
show
much.
Was phenomenal. And I got so excited when I read the premise of Cruel Summer because it kind of has the same feeling that I'm expecting it to kind of have that same what's going to happen feeling.
Definitely.
But we are so excited to have you in the OR.
We need to tell the story because, so I'm taking it that you are or were a Grey's Anatomy fan.
I am and was and will forever
are one of our kind. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
So when you got this role for Cruel Summer, tell us that story.
Okay. So I had been, I'd already been cast in Cruel Summer, and we were in Dallas already. And Olivia and I see each other quite a bunch, and we'd kind of been talking, bouncing back and forth. Our moms hadn't been cast yet in the project, and we were super excited. We were like, who are they going to be? We were trying to figure it out. We were nosying around. And Tia Napolitano, our showrunner, had kind of dropped a hint that potentially they would be interested in someone from Grey's Anatomy. And I freaked out. So me and Olivia were like, who could it be? They were like, she goes, if there's one female in the show that you would want to be your mom, who would it be? And I was like, I don't know, any of them? And she goes, just wait. And I went to Olivia. I was like, who could it be? We were trying to figure it out. And Tia finally called me and she told me, she goes, Sarah Drew is officially cast as Cindy Turner. I start screaming, jumping, like the emotions out of me are not physically will ever happen again. And I call Olivia bawling my eyes out and I go, Olivia, April Kepner's my mom.
That's the best line ever.
April Kepner. And I go, April Kepner's my mom. And by the way, Sarah Drew is one of the kindest, most amazing people on the planet. And I still regularly will call her and be like, April Kepner's my mom.
Wait, so when you met her for the first time when you were shooting Cruel Summer, did you tell her like, I'm obsessed with Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, she already knew because everyone knows. And I have asked her so many questions about Grey's Anatomy. I swear to you, the woman can't stand it anymore. Like constantly I'm like, okay, but on set, did this happen? What about this episode? What about this season? We talk about it often. She's so sweet and will regularly like allow me to geek out for a second, which is a great opportunity.
I know, she's so giving in that way because
she's a giver truly when we talk to her
we're, you know, she's appearing later at some point this season again, and she really was like, I cannot say anything. And I was like, Sarah, you can't say anything. And she's like, I can't. But she was so nice that I didn't feel rejected. I just felt
not
understood.
No. And I feel like, I mean, we geek out for every Grey's Anatomy person that we meet. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some take it well. And she really takes it well.
Oh, yeah. She takes it like a pro. And she's so proud of the show and loves Grey's Anatomy, I think, just as much as we do, which makes it all the better.
Wait, you should guest star on that show.
Yeah, I would love to guest star.
I'd call up Tia. I'd be like, hey, Tia.
Hey, Tia, what's going on? Are we really as close of friends as I thought?
Yeah. A little cross promotion here could be really good. Cruel Summer, actress in Grey's Anatomy. Just a small little stint.
Yeah, we always say we'll play like a corpse in the back if we need to. Like if they'll just put us on as extras, we'll be happy about it.
We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay, so looking at your list of credits of what you've been on, it all has the theme is that people gravitate toward you, or you gravitate towards roles that are a little bit darker. Like the series that you're on, they're darker. And after watching Tell Me Your Secrets, you were so, like I said, I was just so on the edge of my seat the whole time. And I had just told Olivia, I'm not good at binging shows. Like I get very distracted and then I kind of fade out. And that show, I was just like, I have to finish it. Is there a part of you that was drawn to the role of Jeanette kind of in the similar way that you've done these other roles?
Oh, definitely. I definitely gravitate more towards darker projects. I really like the grittier characters that are a little bit harder to sink your teeth into and a little bit harder to get to know. I'm all about people who aren't necessarily what they seem at first. And, you know, there might be more going on. Misunderstood people. I love to explore characters where they kind of seem like one thing. And there might, you know, we're all three-dimensional humans. And I think as people, there's a lot more going on behind the surface. So especially as, you know, characters, it's great to learn about the family life, their friends, you know, them growing up, you know, what's coming after. I think those are the kind of roles that I hope to play, and they seem the most challenging for me.
I was gonna say, are they challenging because you're not like that? Like, what are you like in real life? Like, are you the same?
She loves Grey's Anatomy. What do you mean?
Right, I'm like, I can kind of get a sense, but
no, I'm very much not like that. I like to play roles that are really far from myself. I was really fortunate. I had a great, you know, childhood, and I feel really lucky. But I think that I have a lot of friends and a lot of people in my life who, you know, potentially are judged at first glance. And then you learn more, and with more you learn, the more you love. And
I think those are great people to dive into. And also I always, if I'm reading a script and I'm like, wow, this would be hard, that's the kind of stuff I want to do. You know, something that challenges me and forces me to grow and learn as a person and an actress is kind of all I can potentially aim for.
When you're filming something like this, do you have a hard time kind of switching it off of like, I'm at work, this is my character, and then you go home and you're like, okay, I'm Kiara, I'm not dark like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty goofy on set, I gotta say. I don't know if
I know, you're so cute. I feel like we could be girlfriends.
No, I don't know if Olivia shared any anecdotes, but I am like, I have fun on set. I'm playing music, I'm dancing, I'm pranking, I'm running around like goofing off all the time.
Yeah, time you and Olivia and Sarah have your lunches, like, yeah. I mean, Beck and I are, you know, we're free.
Yeah, we can sit at the next table.
It's an automatic invite, guys. It's an automatic invite. No, I definitely like to kind of be able to switch in and out of it. I think it's hard. There's definitely scenes and moments where you kind of have to live into it for a period of time, but I do well kind of snapping out of it and making sure that I know where I am, who I am, and what's going on kind of in between takes. It helps me, I don't know, propel myself better forward through the storyline.
Yeah, that just shows the type of actress and the talent that you have, because, you know, I've heard of a lot of people, they're like, I had to get in the zone, and when I'm on set, I'm in the zone. But I love that you're just like playing music and being goofy, and then they're like, scene, and you're dark.
our director, our producing director, Bill Purple, talks about that a lot. He's like, what is going on? Like, you'll be laughing, we'll be like in the middle of a scene. He used a reference once. He worked on a movie with Meryl Streep, and he said that she was lying in a bed dying, and she was like making a funny joke to one of the crew members who was standing in the room. And then she goes like, hold on, wait a second. They like do the scene. She like dies and then like comes back and like finishes the end of the joke.
So yeah, said, you're
that's
basically
all I can aspire to.
I was going to say, being compared to Meryl Streep, like, no big deal.
No, but I'm saying,
you can do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You don't compare me to Meryl Streep, but he was saying that, like, that was his favorite memory. And I was like, that's what I want to do. That would be so fun.
That's
if I was
like,
able to
that's when
that.
You, like, that is acting. I could never do that. If you paid me $1 million, I'd be like, no, I can't do that. I would need to be in, like, a dark headspace. And yeah, I don't think I'd want to do that.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Do you feel... I talked to Olivia because I know in this role, she's the popular girl. And then you kind of have, based on how they're saying the show goes, which is 3 different years, you kind of go through different phases of who you are in high school. What were you like when you were in high school? Do you relate to any of these?
I relate to all of them. I think every girl can. I mean, we have a dorky part of ourselves that loves life and has like a childlike wonder and is super excited by the smallest things, even just a boy glancing at you. I can still turn into a little girl and be like, oh my God.
Don't even get me started when you get that double tap.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And then I think there's a part of myself that's like, oh, I'm cool. I know what I'm doing. And then there's another part of myself that is like, has no idea what I'm doing and can kind of, you know, feel sad or confused. And that's the beauty of being a teenager. You don't have to choose one. You are all of those things all of the time. And that's what I like so much about Jeanette, is she isn't just one thing. She's a teenage girl.
Oh my God, sounds very familiar in your 20s and 30s as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That doesn't leave after the teenage years.
Yeah.
Sometimes, unfortunately. But I do think, I love the fact that people watching this show, that they'll have different people that they're rooting for at different times or different opinions as the show is going on. And Olivia said that she had a hard time kind of guessing, like she was wrong every time guessing about what happened. Were you able to, you were all wrong? Is that your reason?
Well, okay, we were all wrong to some aspect. There's more than one twist and there's more than one story going on. Oh. So even if you kind of had figured out one very specific small thing, you definitely hadn't figured out everything else. Oh. But that's what makes it fun, is you never stop guessing. There, just when you think something's figured out, they'll snip you and it'll be completely different.
Wow.
I'm on ready for toes. I'm so excited.
On your toes.
I like need a new show.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're the best.
I know, you're so cute. I loved how when you came in, it was like I could feel that you and Olivia were just like, you have really good energy. Friends.
Oh yeah, we're
Do people tell you that?
That me and Olivia seem like friends?
No, that you have good energy.
Oh, I was like, Olivia and I love each other, but that I have good energy.
Yeah.
No, but I would love it if people did. Thank you.
Well, here's the start, the first one.
I'll take it and I'll run through it. I'm going to be going through the hotel lobby and be like, I was told I have good energy.
Like, shut up and put your mask on.
Exactly.
You are the absolute best. Thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations with Cruel Summer. We're so excited to be here. And, you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, we can talk about Grey's Anatomy. The season's, you know,
anytime.
1 to 17.
Well, I can't wait for you guys to see the show.
I know. I'm super excited to have a new show to watch. And thank you so much for joining us and chatting with us and being a part of the premiere with us.
Of course. Of course.
All right. Awesome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That was so fun. Just felt like back-to-back-to-back besties.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that Olivia Holt song.
I would just like for y'all to know that, though, that when we finished with Kiara, we were, like, so excited about all the 90s props in our room, and Tony goes, I'm going to get the caboodle. And Kiara goes to me, it's a caboodle. And I was like, oh. And then I realized she was born in 2002.
So that makes her
19 or, well, depending on her birthday.
Yeah, no. So 19 adjacent.
Yeah. Anyway, she's young enough that a caboodle was a foreign.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not even going to go into the butterfly clip.
Well, those actually could be making a comeback. Those could be trendy again soon. So
right.
That was just so fun.
So fun. And hopefully Sarah comes back when she's on Grey's Anatomy. We should maybe talk to her publicist because she said she has a full press day.
Oh,
she did say she's doing a press day for it.
Yeah, I don't know if we're included in that, but hopefully we can make that happen.
Yeah.
But I am ready to watch the premiere of the show. So
me too. I'm ready to have a cerveza.
And I need to memorize this paragraph before we start the premiere. So we got to go. We got to wrap.
We love you guys.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed this. We're having so much fun and have a great week.
We'll talk to you next Monday.
That's right.
Bye.